Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
With 1 hour to go, we are still efforting Hoops the Dog's first camera appearance here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Monica, I feel like you have, in addition to having to do an entire radio show with me today, which is its own unique brand of challenge, have also had to manage a couple of dogs in a way I feel like we need to acknowledge the way you've managed to hold that down.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me see if I can get this one over here. Come here. Come here. I'm going to try to get her on camera at some point, but she literally is looking at me like, what is that? I got peppermint. I give my dogs everything except like chocolate and avocado.
Wait, is that a candy cane?
It's a candy cane because we love mints around here. Come here. Come.
Oh, that is incredible. You know what? I'm glad that someone else espouses the belief that candy canes are actually good and wonderful around here because I get beat up for that a lot.
It's just a giant mint. Oh, we got success.
Yeah!
With the candy cane.
There she is. Hi, Hoops. Oh! Oh, and she's got a candy cane. There we go.
All right, I got to give her a piece of the candy cane now.
Listen, we know the bartering system that happens here. All right, well, for anyone watching on ESPN Plus, this is the famous Hoops who you have heard giving takes like this during our interviews with the likes of Lewis Riddick yesterday here on this very radio show. Take a listen.
Because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers.
And now we've finally gotten a visual on Hoops the Dog. So, Monica, this feels like now we've finally completed and fulfilled the prophecy around here, and we can do a radio show in peace.
There, I hope so. And she got a little piece of candy cane, so hopefully she goes and chills while we power through our last hour.
And we're looking forward to it. We got a lot of great guests still coming up in this hour. LaChyna Robinson going to join us in about 10 minutes here as we break down the WNBA draft action from last night, where everyone ended up in the next leg of the journey that begins now. Marquette King, former NFL punter, going to join us here in about a half hour. A guy you saw in Raiders and Bronco uniforms for a long time, but been out of the league for a little while now, and certainly going to be interested to catch up and see what he's been up to. Is he staying ready, and is this still a goal of his to get back into the NFL? But before we get to that, we talked to Todd McShay not too long ago about what the Patriots need to do at 15 in this draft. As much as the party might start as we get to the Carolina Panthers, as we get to the Denver Broncos at 8-9, I think the Patriots can really be the swing state in all of this. We're going to tell you why in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and Done's brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So, Monica, we talked about this earlier in the show when we were doing the win totals for the AFC. You think the Patriots are going to be fine and good if they stick with Cam Newton this year, correct?
I do. You know, I'm a big fan of I Am Athlete, the podcast. Cam had a great interview on that podcast. He talked about the Patriot way and the system and the challenges that he had last year. One, COVID, no offseason, wasn't entirely healthy. I think there's still energy left in the tank when you look at Cam Newton.
And you could certainly justify that, Monica. They brought him back at a really team-friendly deal, a lot of incentive base in there, and he's going to have a ton of weapons. No team had more COVID opt-outs last year than the 2020 New England Patriots. So I'm with you were it not for the opportunity that's here, because the Patriots went 7-9 last year with all the things that you just mentioned going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be that bad again while Bill Belichick is here.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel pretty comfortable saying that. So my only thought here on why they need to go for a quarterback here and now in this draft is because you can't count on being as high as 15 anymore, and you can't count on Cam Newton having a full-blown renaissance. He might work for a while, but at some point I have a feeling you're going to have to turn the page, and you've got proximity now. If one of these quarterbacks, and we're talking about five in this draft that people have flirted with in various parts of the top 10, various points in the top 10. You got Lawrence and Wilson that most people have slotted in 1 and 2. And then it's the Justin Fields conversation, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. And if one of those guys starts to fall, Monica, I don't know how the Patriots that have been so aggressive this offseason, that have gone out and thrown money at players like it's going out of style, can't look at that and say, all right, if we mortgage a little bit of our present, we could get Bill Belichick, one of these young, top five caliber talented quarterbacks to work with for the next decade.
All right, here's my little bit of pushback. I think two things can be true, and if you believe that this is a class that is incredibly deep when it comes to quarterback, then yeah, you don't pass up on the talent. However, that does not necessarily mean to me that Cam still doesn't get a full shot at redemption, if you want to call it that. I will also say that Tom Brady was drafted in what round of the NFL? Like, of the NFL draft?
Sixth round draft, 199.
Right? So I just think, of what I know, and I think Todd McShay nailed it, you can't really say that you know Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick is going to do what is required to win in the constraints that he's currently dealing with. I just feel like you go for a weapon, a skill guy, because part of that was the conversation last year that Cam didn't really have anybody that could separate himself from a defender, right? I think you go for a skill guy and you trust the Bill Belichick, the Patriot way, that you will ultimately land on a quarterback. I just don't. I think right now for this team, Cam Newton is still your best play, personally.
He might absolutely be right now. Monica, you're right. This is all going to be about opportunity. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Monica McNutt. And that's the big separator, me. Because if you're right, if all of a sudden we get a run like people have talked about where, who knows, maybe Atlanta gets Froggy and decides they're going to take Trey Lance at that fourth spot there and set up their quarterback of the future. And you get four quarterbacks off the board in the top four. And then Denver or Carolina gets nervous and they reach for one of those guys. Then it's not a conversation. You need two to tango in these spots. I'm just looking at the fall because we know there's Davis Mills from Stanford, the conversation about him maybe in the back end of the first round that the Patriots could go and grab. But it feels like to me, based on what we've seen, the Patriots struggled last year because of uncertainty. Uncertainty with a new quarterback coming in, like you mentioned, to a new system, albeit a veteran in Cam Newton. Uncertainty with their roster and who was going to be around there. And uncertainty in the future now that Tom Brady was gone and down to Tampa Bay. And Bill Belichick came back with the iron fist and said, no, I'm done with all of that. We are going to go out here and do things a little bit different than we've done. And I just wonder why you'd stop short now, because I think maybe that Tom Brady success was a bit more of a slight than we could have predicted on the outside. And now it just feels like this could be their shot to go and do something and not have to wait and hope and wonder if they're going to hit late again, because the draft has not been kind to them in the last 5 years.
I know I'm in the minority on this, but I really don't think that Bill Belichick is checking for what Tom Brady is or isn't accomplishing so much as he is just a winner himself. Again, my initial statement to you, Golick, would be two things can be true. If they feel best available talent at 15 is still a quarterback, fine. I still don't think it's time to kick the bucket when it comes to Cam Newton yet. He still has experience. He has still has gravitas. He wants to work under Bill Belichick in this system. You give him a year under it, a year healthy. You give him some of those marquee guys back. Like, we forget however many of them were linemen. I can't remember off the top of my head, but like, there were pieces that affected what Cam Newton was being tasked with doing, and we already saw the overhaul in the offseason. I don't think that it's stopping short to buy in on Cam Newton. I think you have now really set him up to have a true shot at being successful at the helm.
To your point, protection-wise, they bring back Trent Brown, the former Patriot who had signed that rich deal with the Raiders. You get tight ends in there. It does all pair very well with Cam's skill set. There's no doubt. That's why I think this is going to be among the more interesting picks in the entire first round, because everyone, even though Tom Brady's gone, I think is still waiting around scared to see what the boogeyman in New England is going to be able to pull off with everything they've done. That's one and done here on Chenan and Golick Jr. We got a little time left. I have promised you guys a full slate of over-unders in the NFL. Oh. We got a little bit short of that in the last segment, Monica, and so I wanted to give people the NFC West. Cliff, do we have that different music?
Hold on. And I need my pen because these numbers, I got to keep these numbers. Okay, let's go.
I was going to say, a lot of numbers getting thrown around here. Thankfully, we only got four more of these numbers, so we are ready to go. Monica is in reporter mode right now.
I am.
With the pen. All right, we got the NFC West over-unders, courtesy of Vegas, our friend at Caesar William Hill. For this upcoming season, the Arizona Cardinals checking in with an over-under of 8 wins in 2021. Are you going to go right now?
No, I was going to say, what are we doing? You give me all four? Come on.
I'll give you all four right now. The Los Angeles Rams, over-under 10.5 for this upcoming season. We have got the San Francisco 49ers checking in at over-under an even 10. And the Seattle Seahawks also checking in an over under even 10. What a juggernaut division we've got here. It is 8, 10.5, 10, and 10 for the over under numbers in the toughest division in football. What do you got, Monica?
Super tough. Okay, Arizona, I'm going to hit Arizona to give me one more. Surprise, surprise, the young folks getting it popping. I'm going to fold on the Rams.
Ooh.
I 49ers are in the market for a quarterback. That's kind of a big deal. I think I got a fold there too. But do I like the Seahawks like that?
I'm going to say that's the real swing state right now.
Wow. Is that what I'm saying? That I like the Seahawks like that? I guess. I got a push on the Seahawks. Did they get him some linemen? Did they get him some protection?
They did. They've gone out and they've started to address that a little bit here. The Seahawks have averaged 10.33 wins per year in the 16-game schedule era over the last 6 seasons. So that's a pretty safe bet. Monica, I'm going to rock with you in hitting on the Seattle Seahawks. I think they can get to over that. I think they can get to 11 despite all of Russ's problems this offseason. I am going to go over for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, okay.
I think that Stafford difference ends up being just that, what they need to get over the hump. I'm going to go under for the Cardinals. I think this might be the end of the Cliff Kingsbury era in Arizona.
So quickly?
I think Kyler Murray is going to continue to perform, and if he does, you're going to have a hard time justifying letting Cliff Kingsbury have ownership over his prime years.
Okay, all right, fair enough. You know, I defer to you on all things football, so okay.
And you know what? I'm going to go just under on the San Francisco 49ers. It feels like I might live to regret that one, especially depending on what quarterback they pick at 3 in this draft. But there are your NFL over-unders here on Chanae and Golic Jr. Reminder, First Take, Her Take is a podcast hosted by one of the hosts of this show, our own Chanae Igwumike, Charlie Arnold, Kimberly A. Martin, podcast with all the biggest debates and stories, plus plenty of tea from their personal lives. New episodes every Wednesday wherever you get your podcast. But coming up next, we got to get to what we saw last night. The WNBA draft for 2021 has come and gone. We got a new crop of young women getting ready to enter this league, and we'll give you the breakdown it deserves next here. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
With the first pick in the 2021 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Charlie Collier from the University of Texas.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt, our ESPN Hoops analyst, hanging out with us. Monica's going to be on Hoop Streams this weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up on ESPN Digital. Make sure you check that out. Always a great time with everyone. Monica has been kind enough to fill in for Chanae Igwumike, who's off conquering the world. We are excited to have her in here, as always. We're excited to talk to Marquette King in about 5-10 minutes around here. Former NFL punter who seems still out very active, trying to get kicks up on social media. And I'd be interested to talk to him, Monica, and figure out if this is still something he's pursuing, because this is always the difficult prospect for people in and around the pro game, as Hoops also agrees that it's a difficult time.
She likes you, Golic. That's what it is.
You know what? I appreciate this. Like, we've been very upfront. This is a very heavy dog show. We love dogs around here. And so, honestly, Monica, the most devastating for me, the thing that happens in public sometimes back before COVID, when we could actually go and like be around each other, is if I approach someone's dog, ask if I can pet the dog, and then the dog does not want to be pet by me.
Oh, that's sad.
It is the deepest slight that I think life can muster up for me. So I just appreciate that apparently this dog wants to hang out enough.
Yeah. Hoops, let me just tell you, Hoops would love you, Golic. It's fine. She would love you. No worries.
I appreciate that. So we're going to talk to Marquette King in about 5 minutes here. We're hoping to get a hold of LaChyna Robinson, one of our great ESPN basketball analysts around here as well, because we had the WNBA draft last night. And listen, Monica, we talked to Carrington.
Carrington.
I'm going to say. Heads all over the place here today. We talked to Dejanay Carrington last night before the draft. The draft night came and went, as you heard in the open. Charlie Collier, the number one overall pick for the Dallas Wings, not having to go far after her time at Texas. But Monica, after that, it was a lot of stuff that felt off script. Most of what I saw online and people talking about and covering the WNBA draft was how different it looked from the mock. So from what you saw, hopefully we'll get LaChyna's opinions on this here soon. From what you saw, what was maybe the most surprising pick in this draft as far as someone going where you didn't expect?
I think according to projections and the mocks, the fourth pick from the Indiana Fever going to Kaiser Gondrzik. Oh, I had to call her games a couple of times. That's a name, baby. I think was a big surprise. And then I think Arela Garantes falling to the second round, the 10th pick in the second round, was a big time surprise as well. I know there were some mocks that had Dana Evans from Louisville, who I love, in the first round. But ultimately, she did get picked by the Dallas Wings, who just cleaned up in terms of talent there. I saw some mocks that had Renia Davis higher on the board as well. But when I look at my top 10... this top 10, rather, there's a lot of size here. Outside of Ari McDonald, There's a lot of size here. Chelsea Dungy's not a big guard, but she's probably standard size in terms of guards. But there's a lot of size here. There's some really good three-point shooting. Jasmine Walker is outstanding from behind the three-point line. So, these GMs and coaches do their diligence in terms of the best fit, and that may not be some of the more popular names in women's basketball.
It's very true, and it's a good reminder, especially when, as you brought up earlier in the show, there's 144 spots in this league we were talking about, so fit matters as they're trying to assemble talent. And as we get more talent coming into this show, we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by our ESPN basketball analyst, LaChyna Robinson, with us here now. And LaChyna, we appreciate the time. We know you were helping cover the WNBA draft last night. We were just talking about fit with Monica and how much of a driver that appeared to be in last night's draft. When you look, who do you think ended up with the best fit in the WNBA draft we saw last night?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Monica. Thank you guys for having me. No, that's a really good question. I thought the Dallas Wings did a nice job, and you can kind of credit some of the other teams in the WNBA for why Dallas ended up having such a successful night, because there were some players that dropped lower than we expected. So, you know, my thought on Dallas was, yes, they were going to take Collier first and Queer second. I thought they needed a point guard in that number five spot, but they were able to get Chelsea Dungy and then come back around and get a point guard, not just a point guard, but get Dana Evans at 13. So they got everything they needed and more. So I was really impressed. And when you have a lot of picks, you're going to have some opportunities. But I just think the nature of this draft and some players dropping helped Dallas out a lot.
All right, LaChyna, you've been covering the league and the women's game. You got a few years on me in terms of wisdom. And I have maintained that part of the reason the mocks seem to be largely inaccurate, honestly, is because these GMs and coaches do such a good job in terms of understanding what their teams need. What was your thought process as names that we thought we would see sooner were going in the later rounds?
Well, I just believe that week after the NCAA tournament, once some of the college players declared, is an important week. It's a week that none of us, as the quote experts, get to sit in on, as GMs and coaches are actually talking to these players. And I honestly believe, Monica, that that's where we saw a difference from what we thought in these mocks, from some earlier conversations we've had, is when these coaches got on Zoom with various players, then that word fit was much more broad than playing style and, what position you think you might play in the WNBA. It became about, what is your mentality? How do you talk about the concept of team? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? How did you get to this point? How do you think you can fit in our organization? What do you know about the WNBA? That interview process is, I believe, the reason why there was some separation. And not to say that, you know, any of these prospects did a bad job on their interview, but you could find a fit physically by watching film. You find the fit mentally by having conversations. And I think that's where we saw differences.
So much wisdom there, sis. And that is why you are one of the best in the game. All right, so then let me ask you this. Biggest surprise last night, and it can obviously have a positive spin or it could just be a flat-out surprise. What was one of your big whoa?
Oh, my gosh. Kaiser Gondrzik.
Yeah.
At four. And I have a lot of respect for her game. You know, that's a young woman who lost a ton of weight, got into great shape this season, and had the best year of her career. You know, lost her father this year. I believe her father played in the NBA. And he was a huge influence on her life. And so she's been through a lot. She's transitioned herself physically and really put herself on the map. She was one of the best guards in the Big 12 this year. And that's a league where you're going to face junk defense, zone. You got to play against Baylor, who had the best defense in the mm-hmm. country. You had Natasha Mack at the rim, who led the country in blocks. So the Big 12 is no cakewalk when you're a scorer. And yet she averaged 20 points per game. She could score at all three levels. I just thought Indiana would go with, one, someone that was going to help them on the defensive end, because that's where they were lacking last year. Or I thought that they may look for a big guard because they are kind of small in their backcourt. You know, Kelsey Mitchell doesn't have great size. Neither does Tiffany Mitchell. They ended up giving up Kennedy Burke, who was one of their bigger wings. So that's the direction I thought they were going in. But again, about fit so many times. And I know for a fact that Tamika Catchings is someone who believes in mentality. When you think about the Fever and how that organization was built over the years where they were going to the playoffs every season and vying for championships, they never had a top four pick. I think between Tamika Catchings and like the recent years, they may have gone 10, 12 seasons without having a lottery pick. So they have just found the right fit. She knows that that blueprint worked, and I'm not questioning what that selection, you know, may be in the future, but it was a surprise for me.
Night full of surprises, but as you both have pointed out, fit going to be the overriding term here that helps decide what's going to happen and what we're going to see in this upcoming WNBA season. Follow her on Twitter, at LaChyna Robinson. LaChyna, we appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Yay! See you this summer.
Can't wait. Always great stuff from LaChyna. But coming up next, we got to dip back out to the Goodyear Hotline and do it for the brand here on Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our thanks to LaChyna Robinson for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping break down what's going on in the WNBA draft. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt here with you guys on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And we are heading now out to the Goodyear Hotline, where we get to talk to another now friend of the show here, former NFL punter, 7 years between the Raiders and the Broncos, also in the XFL with the St. Louis Battlehawks, Marquette King, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. How you doing, Marquette? We appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate you too, man. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And we mentioned there, you've got a long road and a long journey in the NFL. And we know, I've seen on your social media, you're staying active, you're staying punting right now. So what have the last few years been like for you trying to get back into the league?
Just a lot of hard work, man. Sometimes it can get tough, especially knowing that you still have an all-pro talent. Man, I'm just working hard every day, just waiting for my next opportunity.
All right, so just what does that look like a little bit, Marquette? Like, you just kind of get yourself in position, your agent will team up and kind of pitch or hopefully get invites to training camps this summer? How does that go?
I mean, the plan is to just keep working. All I can do is control what I can control, and I'm doing my best to control it. Just put in a lot of work and just listen to my agent about and my agent's doing a really good job, including Greg Coleman and some of the other people that I have in my corner, just staying positive with me, because sometimes it gets hard. But I'm staying as positive as I can about it.
It is difficult, and I know I've seen a number of places you've spoken about this, but do you have any idea why do you believe you're not in the NFL, given the way you left, given the quality of punting you were doing during your last season in 2018?
I mean, the quality of punting I was doing, I was basically doing what I was asked. At the same time, you can't go back in the past and focus on it too much, because, I mean, you'll stay back in the past. But, I mean, now the way I'm punting is pretty up there. I mean, I'm still an all-pro, and I still got that talent.
So, all right, we've seen in other sports sometimes guys love the game, whatever it is they're playing, they'll play anywhere. Have you given any thought to any other leagues, or is it NFL or bust for you?
I mean, as y'all saw, I had to play in the XFL, and I think the reason me playing in the XFL was I've heard that after my injury with the Broncos, some people were doubting my ability to punt like I did before, and the talent was there. It was still there. I ended up in the XFL, and that felt good. But I also met some really good people through the XFL, and it helped find my love for the game even more, because I lost it at one point. But, I mean, it helped out a whole lot, and I was super glad to go through that.
Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutt talking to Marquette King, former NFL punter, here on the Goodyear Hotline. And Marquette, you mentioned the XFL experience and the people that you met there. That was obviously cut short by the onset of the pandemic. But from what you saw, you spent a lot of time in the NFL, the biggest league in North America. Do you think it would have worked? Do you think the XFL had a real chance the way that they were running that show?
For sure. The XFL was fun. What they promoted was just having a lot of fun and just being yourself. And is, man, it brought a lot of joy and love to the game, even for the players that were playing in the XFL too. It was just super fun. And I don't know, when you get a chance to be yourself, get a chance to play with good people, even good coaches, and shout out to Coach Hayes, because he was one of the best coaches I've probably had too, just playing football, period. Man, it's just fun.
So look, Marquette, you're talking with us. You seem to have really great perspective still. You're still smiling. You're talking about working hard. The talent is still there. It's been quite the journey, right? Like, since you were in the league and then playing in the XFL, what have you kind of learned in this entire thing? Because sometimes, you know, they always say it's about the journey and not always about the destination.
Yeah, so the journey I learned is not to define yourself as one thing. I think a lot of people define themselves as one thing and not working on other things outside of that one thing that a lot of people force you to do. And I think me, because it was tough when I first got out, and sometimes it can get taken away from you, or you just grow out of it. And if you don't have any other options going on, then it'll be a tough little road for you. And especially when I got let go from Denver in 2018, it was definitely tough at one point. But as life goes on, you understand, like, it's a lot of other things you can do. And but all you can do is just keep hold of faith and keep working.
And we know and we see you've been putting in the work for that next opportunity. When it comes, when called upon, you'll be ready. Marquette, we appreciate the time and the insight into your journey on this. Best of luck with everything going forward, man. We'll be looking for your name popping up again real soon, all right?
Thank you very much.
Marquette King, free agent NFL punter with us here on Chinay Angola Jr., kind enough to stop by on the Goodyear Hotline. There is a lot of market for entertaining punters right now. Shout out to Pat McAfee and the brand. If you've got a personality and a platform, we're ready to let punters sling these takes out here.
It's true. It's very, very true. And something tells me that even though Marquette was a little coy with us in that interview, I'm sure he's got plenty of opinions on lots of things.
Absolutely. So we'll wait and see what happens with Marquette King and his journey going forward. But coming up next, we have a fantasy league that you really, and I mean really, don't want to come in last place in, and a battle royale with the animal kingdom. We'll get to that next. Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
Too Damn Friday here on Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Big thanks to Monica McNutt, our ESPN Hoops analyst, filling in the last couple of days for Chinay Agwumike. Monica, we appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun getting to hang out with you, your dogs. Hopefully we get to do a lot more of it here soon.
Ditto, Golic. It's been a blast rolling with you. And then last week when I hopped in for you with Chinay, y'all got a good thing going here. So I'm just glad I could be part of the extended family.
I can say it's a nice little spot. We like to have a good little family circle around here. Monica McNutt definitely in the circle of trust around here. Our thanks to Roy Wood Jr., comedian, actor, Daily Show correspondent, for joining us earlier in the show. But I can say on-air belcher, which really means like he might also be in the family at this point too.
That's
like the initiation into all this. Todd McShay, our ESPN NFL draft analyst. LaChyna Robinson, our ESPN basketball analyst, helped us break down the WNBA draft. And Marquette King, free agent NFL punter, all for joining us. If you missed any of those interviews, check it out wherever you get your podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, and review Chinay Angola Jr. But we got to finish it off. It is Friday, and we have animal fights, fantasy bets, and multilingual analysts. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinay Angola Jr.
All right, Monica, fantasy football is basically just creative ways to get to punishment. That seems to be what that is always about.
A succinct and effective description. Okay.
Terrifying. Listen, we think there's pressure with normal football in the upcoming NFL draft. What about this fantasy football league? Now, friends of our producer, Ryan Matlack, had a league bet to pay off for last place. If you came in last place, you had to take a bus trip to Nebraska. A 20-hour bus trip to Nebraska.
Oh, no.
The kicker is you cannot turn it into a vacation. It is 20 hours on a bus there and 20 hours on a bus straight home. You are seeing the documented pictures of this on ESPN Plus right now. Matt, like, what more can you tell us about the circumstances here? Because these are your friends, which is a terrifying thing about you and the people you hang out with.
Yeah, this is a really impressive league we got going on here, Junior. These guys will go all over the place. Montreal, Vegas for their drafts. They take it seriously. Obviously, Jake, who we see in this photo right here, about to hop on the bus early this morning, South Station in Boston, a trip I've made many a time myself on a Peter Pan bus or two. It is incredible to see, and he had great energy, by the way. Like, we don't have the video there. Great energy getting on that bus for what was probably 5 a.m. in the morning and a trip that he never intended to take.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But shout out to everybody in Boston, Brian and the crew, because this is something that this Fantasy League looks forward to, except for one person, every year, Junior.
It's real sicko energy.
And
right
unusual.
Here.
Yes, cruel and unusual. I am like 4 hours max on a plane is like I need a layover at this point unless I can be fully like sleep knocked out.
That is true. And at least on a plane, you've got like your defined space. In a bus, it's a free for all out there. So anybody.
In a COVID era, Matt Lack, there's no amendments.
That is
like,
true.
This is awful.
You can bring some snacks, but no, like there's no one walking by asking if you need another beer.
No, exactly. Oh. So I can say, yeah, I don't think you can drink on a bus, but I feel like 20 hours. Never mind. I'm getting reassured that you can, in fact, drink on a bus. Is our Sports Center update anchor Kevin
and Boston
Winter.
And Boston guy, by
I
the way,
say, and Bostonian there, assuring us that you can, in fact, drink on a bus. So Jake, I hope you brought a few cold ones with you because 20 hours to and from, you are going to need it.
Yeah, but then bus bathrooms, too.
Oh,
be careful.
Yeah,
there.
No.
I'm sorry for the noise. There's Hoops again if you hear her in her loud toy.
Listen, Hoops is just getting ready for a drunken bus ride. It's all good. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy. This one was wild, Monica. Did you see the video going around on the internet of a man in a driveway with his family being attacked by a bobcat?
I missed the video, but I know you're going to give me an incredible description. It sounds wild.
Yes, so a man going out to the driveway with, I believe, a case of cinnamon rolls, which is an important plot element in this story,
yes,
is there when all of a sudden he hears and then sees a bobcat attacking his wife. He forklifts it in front of him and then yeets it across the lawn, just tosses the bobcat. So, Monica, I've got to ask you and everyone here, what is the largest live mascot you think you could successfully defend your family from?
Largest live wow, that was a lot. Largest live mascot that I could successfully defend my family from? I'm feeling really wimpy and thinking of a Maryland terrapin, which is a turtle.
So a lot of people have come for, and I asked everyone on Twitter, at Mike Gola Jr., this question. People came for the terrapin, and people came for the UC Santa Cruz slug, the banana slug.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. There is a division, I want to say Presbyterian hose, blue hose maybe, so I can defend my family against the blue hose.
There we go. I was going to say, that one plays for my money, and I've made this comment for a while now, Monica. I've always said I could take down a deer. I feel like bare hands, if I'm surprised and I have to defend my family, I'm gator rolling into the deer's legs, and I've got this one.
I feel like their legs are the strongest part of them. Unless you
not the front legs, though. The front legs are kind of wimpy. They just flail around when they get up on their hind legs. I feel like I got this deer. Cliff, why are you looking at me sideways right
bro,
now?
Bro, of all the wildest, outlandish things I say on this show and you come at me for, you honest to God think you could take out a deer?
Hold on. Have you caught up to the deer? Have you tried? Like, can the deer,
I feel like
can
the deer
run away?
More ferocious than you're giving them credit.
If the deer can't run away, I actually take Junior power-wise.
I'm saying it's just like this instance with the bobcat, bro, where the bobcat ran up on dude and his family. So I'm saying if this deer runs up on me and my family, my paternal instincts are going to kick in, and like moms that can deadlift a truck off their baby.
But listen, you see what deers do to fully functional vehicles? Imagine what that thing would do to
your
little body.
That's a great point. But also the vehicle is moving though, Cliff. And
yeah.
I don't know that Golden can
achieve
like that
3,000 more pounds than Golden Junior.
I know, but it's the speed.
You would get destroyed by the deer.
No. It's the collision. It's the speed that makes it. Well, I mean, you have a point, but I.
Yeah, what do you think the deer is going to do? Just stand there and just knock him out? Like,
I think
no,
the deer is
going to
get up on its hind legs and I'm a gator roll under those and I'm going to give it something it's not ready for. Human dexterity.
This is stressful. Can we get to Holly?
Do we have time for Holly? This is Holly Rowe going
bonsoir,
bilingual.
Bonsoir, Eliana. Je suis très excité pour toi. Tu parles anglais?
Yes, I speak French. English, yes.
Je suis très excité pour toi. What are you so excited for to be coming to the WNBA?
The NBA is on ESPN Radio, by the way. Tune in Sunday as the Knicks host the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Thanks, Monica.
Bye,
we'll see you.
It was fun.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.